Well, congregation, brothers and sisters, I read somewhere that in around 1000 AD, about 180 years after the death of Charlemagne, king of the Franks, the then Emperor Otto ordered that his tomb be opened up. And he went inside to see how they had buried this great and powerful king. And when he did so, he was amazed by what it was that he saw. For in this great tomb, Charlemagne had been buried with all of his earthly treasures, all of his vast riches and possessions. But then he saw the remains of the king himself, the skeletal figure of Charlemagne sitting upright on his great royal throne, with his regal crown still sitting upon his brow. But to his utter astonishment, he discovered that on his lap was a copy of the Gospels. And Charlemagne's bony finger was resting on the words of Mark chapter 8 and verses 36 and 37, which we read a moment ago, where Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" And it would seem then that Charlemagne, though he was a great king and ruler, he realized that in the end, all of his greatness, all of his achievements, and his vast amount of wealth, at the end of the day, none of it really mattered. You see, when it came time for him to die, he had to leave it all behind. All of his fine robes, all of his riches, all of his titles and his royal standing, couldn't take any of it with him when he went out into eternity to meet his God. And you see, that is the solemn fact that confronts us here in this passage before us in Mark chapter 8, which we read earlier, that whenever we reach the end of life's journey, which all of us inevitably will, nothing we have accumulated or nothing that we have achieved in this life, none of it will truly matter. For all that will matter in that moment is our relationship to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so this evening then I want to think about this passage of Scripture, these two great questions that Jesus addresses to every one of us here in Mark chapter 8 and verses 36 and 37. And as we reflect on these questions, then I want to consider three things that they impress and press upon our minds. Firstly, they focus our minds on the worth of the soul. Then secondly, they force us to think about the waste of a soul. And then finally, they call upon us to think seriously about the well-being of our own souls. Well, let us begin then to think about these two great questions here in Mark chapter 8 by first focusing our minds on this matter of the worth of the soul. And friends, what is the worth of the soul, of your soul and mine? Well, Jesus here infers in these verses the soul is of infinite worth. It is worth more than this whole wide world and everything in it. All of the cities, all of the nations, all of the continents of this world, all of its silver and all of its gold, all of the rubies and diamonds and precious stones that it contains, all of the stocks and shares and bonds, all of the wealth of this world, all of the vast resources of this world, all of it. Jesus is saying our souls are of more value than all of these things put together. And friends, why is it that Jesus says that? Well, friends, it's because the Bible teaches that you and I, we are a soul. We are an immortal soul. You see, when God created man in his own image and likeness, he formed him of the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And that means then, friend, you and I were not simply a body. We're not simply the sum of our biological parts. We are each a soul inhabiting a body. That's why Paul speaks about the body in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1 as being our earthly house. Because, see, the body is the place where the soul currently lives. And friends, our present bodies will perish then. That body that you are sitting in just now as you listen to me, this body that I am standing in here as I am addressing you this evening, these bodies that we spend so much time looking after, feeding and clothing and washing and pampering and so often worrying about. Friends, one day they are going to be laid in a grave when we draw our last breath. But you see, our souls will live on. They will go on existing forever. And they will continue to exist then, even when the sun, the moon, the stars and all of the planets, everything else in this created order of God will have disappeared. Because you see, the soul is that part of us that is made in the image and likeness of God. And it can no more cease to exist then than God himself can cease to exist. And friends, our souls will go on enduring in existence then throughout all eternity, world without end. And they will continue to exist forever, as the Bible teaches, in one of two places, either in heaven or in hell. And you see, that is why Jesus is stressing here then the infinite worth and value of the soul in comparison to all other created things. Because you see, he wants us to take to heart just how precious, how utterly immeasurably valuable our souls truly are. You see, he wants us to recognize that our souls are the most valuable possession that has and ever will be entrusted to us by God. And you see, that realization is meant to put life into a totally different perspective then. You see, unlike the misguided atheist who does allege that we are simply the byproduct of blind, mindless, purposeless, physical, natural processes, who would have us to believe we are nothing more than a physical mass of molecules, that you and I are simply the accidental product of a combination of chemicals that have highly evolved, and so at death we will simply go out of existence. Unlike the misguided atheist who says these things, we are meant to see ourselves as God sees us. We're meant to see ourselves as we truly are, not as an accidental collocation of atoms and molecules, but as creatures who are made in the image and likeness of God. And therefore, as beings who are intrinsically immortal and eternal by creation. Beings, friend, who will never, never, ever, ever cease to exist. And do we see then why this question of the soul's worth, it is of such great consequence? Friends, do we see why it is that Jesus impresses this question of the soul's worth upon our minds? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and yet he loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, what the Lord Jesus is placing before us here, friends, is a pair of scales. And on the one side of the balances, he is placing the whole world and everything in it. And on the other side, he is placing one single, solitary soul. And he is telling us that the value of that soul, it outweighs all of the rest. And you see, friends, we are called by Jesus here then to use our minds to place our own souls on that same scale and to weigh their worth in the balances in light of eternity, in light of their immortality, in light of the fact that they are destined to exist forever, either in heaven or in hell, in conscious bliss or in conscious torment. And friends, we are to let the way of the solemn reality of the impending death of our bodies, the immortality of our souls, and our eternal destinies lead us to view life and the world around, so that we would learn not to love the world or the things of this world, and that we would say to ourselves as we do awake each and every morning in the language of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, that the time is short, the fashion of this world, it is passing away, and thus it is our wisdom to use this world as not abusing it, by not wasting our souls in the pursuit of this world and the vanity of those things that are all destined to perish with use. And that brings us then to consider in the second place that these questions, they force us to think about the waste of a soul. That it is possible, as Jesus reminds us here, to waste our souls by losing them, by trading or exchanging them for the things of this world. And friends, our souls are in grave danger then of being wasted and squandered, according to Jesus. Because you see, we can waste them, we can lose them by wasting our lives. You see, the original Greek word for soul that is used here in our text, it is the word psuche, which also means life. And so whenever the Bible speaks of our soul, it is also referring to our life, our inner life, or the life of our souls, the life that is expressed through our physical bodies. And another way of phrasing what Jesus is asking here then would be, what can you give in exchange for your life? Or even, what can you give in exchange for yourself? You see, friends, our soul is the true essence of our life and our being. As we've said, it is the real us, so to speak. It's the dimension of our lives that will transcend the bounds of time and this earthly existence, and that will never ever cease to exist. But we need to remember that it is also the control center of our being here in time. It is that which animates and directs us in our physical earthly existence. And you see, our souls or our lives then, they can be oriented toward God, or they can be oriented toward material and earthly things. And of course, the soul was made to be oriented and directed toward God, so that we would live for Him in our physical bodies, as we said this morning. We would make His will, His purposes, the guiding principle of our lives here on earth. But you see, if that is not how we choose to live, if instead we are turned in on ourselves, we simply use the capacities and energies of our souls to pursue our own ends, our own goals in life, then we will lose our souls or our lives. Because you see, as Jesus says in verse 35, the person who will save his life, person who chooses to channel the energy and capacities of their soul towards themselves and their own ends and desires, they shall lose their lives. They will never know or experience the true meaning of life, either in this life or in the life to come either, which is to know the life of God in the soul as we give our souls over to Him to become His dwelling place, the very thing that you and I, friend, were created for to begin with. And you see, Jesus is saying then, friends, the way to lose our souls or our lives is by living a self-centered life, a life that is turned in on ourselves, that does not have God as its central reference point. And of course, when God is not at the heart and center of our lives, then inevitably we are. And you see, when that is the case, we will live in pursuit not of God, but of everything that this world appears to have to offer us. And thus we waste our souls, we waste our lives, by living only for ourselves, by living for our own priorities rather than God's priorities, and by giving ourselves then to attaining and holding on to earthly, material things rather than focusing on God and spiritual things. As though Jesus had it wrong when he said elsewhere in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15 that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And friends, how many people today are wasting their lives then and forfeiting the well-being of their souls by thinking that their lives do consist in the acquisition of things, and maybe you're one of them. And so they give themselves over entirely to the pursuit of worldly and material gain, what they think they can get out of this world, as though these things can and will satisfy the longings and desires of their souls and make them truly happy. And all the while they are keeping God off the throne of their souls, out of their hearts and lives, because they have chosen to save their lives for themselves and their own ends. And the tragedy is, they don't realize that in so doing they're actually losing their lives. They are destroying their souls. Because you see, friends, our souls were made by God for Himself, to live in relationship to Him as their true owner. And no matter how much of this world we may gain then, it can never bring real satisfaction into our lives if we aren't rightly related to God in our souls. Because you see, as we sing in the words of Psalter 203, to live apart from God is death. And you see, a life lived in the interests of self and worldly gain, then friends, it is a wasted life. Because it's a life that actually separates us from God and from the life of God and from the enjoyment of God. Because you see, a preoccupation with self is the very thing that shuts God out from the soul, keeps Him from occupying His rightful place in our hearts and in our lives. That's why, as one man has said so well, there is no life so empty as a self-centered life, but there's no life so centered as a self-emptied life. And you see, to be truly rich in life then is not to be rich in the things of this world and what this world can give us, friend. It is to be rich toward God, to have Him as the eternal portion of our souls. Reminds me of the very wealthy man I read of. He owned a tremendous amount of land. He was talking to his Christian neighbor one day. This man, he was bragging to him about all that he had, what he owned. And so he and his neighbor, they were standing out in the middle of one of his fields. This man, he said to his neighbor, he said to him, look over that way. He said, everything you can see, I own it. It's all mine. Then he said to him, look over that way. He said, everything you can see, it's all mine. I own it. He said, look over that way. said, "Everything you can see, I own it. It's all mine." Then he said to him, "Look over that way." He said, "Everything you can see, as far as you can see, it's all mine. I own it." And his Christian neighbor standing beside him, he said, "That's wonderful. You own everything in all four directions." He said, "I'm happy for you." But then he said to him, "Let me ask you a question. How much do you own in that direction?" And of course, at that point, the man put his head down. Because you see, he knew he wasn't rich toward God, that he wasn't right with God in his heart and in his life. And you see, how many people are just like that man? They are taken up with what they have in this world. And they judge their success by what they have. And all the while they forget the true riches. They are not bound up with material possessions and the stuff of this world. You see, all of these things, friends, they will pass away. We will have to leave them all behind. And at best, we can only enjoy them for a very few short years. And you see, that is why the Lord Jesus here warns us then about trading our souls for earthly gain. That's why he instructs us in John chapter 6 not to labor and toil for that which perishes, but for that which endures to everlasting life, that which he alone can give us. And friends, let us not be like so many around us then. It was the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 55, are spending their money. They're spending their time, their energy, their wages for that which does not satisfy, that which cannot satisfy. But rather, let us hearken diligently to God. Let us eat that which is good. Let us delight our souls in true abundance. Let us incline our ears and come unto Him and hear His words of counsel that our souls might live. You see, God doesn't want any of us here to lose our souls, to waste our lives in pursuit of this world and material things. And that's why he sent his Son into this world then, that we might have life in him. Abundant life, real life, spiritual life, everlasting life, and that through him it might be well with our souls. And that's what I want to move on to consider in the last place then, that these questions of the Lord Jesus here, they call upon all of us to think seriously about our own souls. You see, as Jesus makes clear here in verse 35, the way to secure or save the well-being of our immortal souls is by losing them for his sake and the gospel's, by giving them away to him to whom they belong in the first place, so that he might sit as king upon the throne of our hearts, that he might reign over our lives, to now direct them for his ends and purposes, and to reveal the life of God to us and within us. You see, friends, we must be prepared to lose our lives in order to gain life in Christ. And we must be emptied of self before we can be filled with Christ. And when we come to Christ then, we're not only coming to him to embrace the resources that he provides, like so many people seem to think, blessings and benefits, Christians. We want all of the blessings and benefits, but they won't want to crown Christ as King and Lord of their lives. And we're not meant to be coming then only to embrace the resources that he provides, the gifts that he provides, but we are also to bring ourselves to him We are to place ourselves under his sovereign lordship. And we are now to say to him, you are now Lord of my life. You are now in charge of my life. Your will, your desires, your plans, your purposes, that's what I want for my life. And boys and girls, I'm sure you've all heard someone saying, when they have found something that someone else has lost, finders, keepers, losers, weepers. And of course they say that to try to cover up the fact that they know the item they've found, it doesn't truly belong to them, to grant themselves the right to keep it. Of course they may well get away with keeping it. But you see what Jesus is saying here in a spiritual sense is, it's not the finders who are keepers, and the losers who are weepers. Rather, it is the losers who are the keepers. Because those who are prepared to lose their lives by saying to God and to Jesus, I give my life over to you, they are the ones who will actually find their lives and keep them. By those who try to keep their lives by saying to God and to Jesus, stay out of my life, they are the ones who will lose their lives. You see, whatever they may appear to gain in life, by ignoring God, by going their own way, in disregard of his will and purposes, it will all ultimately be loss to them. And friends, the loss will be utterly devastating for them, because they will discover they have forfeited their own souls. And God will say to them at the last, on the day of judgment then, the day that Jesus speaks about here in verse 38, when he will come again in the glory of his Father with the holy angels to judge the world in righteousness, he will say to them on that day, depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. As Matthew informs us in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Because you see, all those who are ashamed of the Lord Jesus and of his words in this life, all of those who will not identify with him, they will not follow him in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will be ashamed on the day of judgment, and they will have no lot or portion with him then, but they will go to a lost eternity in hell. And you see, it makes no difference what a person may have in this life then, if they don't know and acknowledge the Lord Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, just like the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, they will lack the one thing that is truly needful. You see, like him, they will discover in the end that everything without Jesus equals nothing, but nothing plus Jesus equals everything. And to be without Jesus then, it will mean the eternal loss of the soul of the person who would not come to him, who would not come after him, by denying themselves and taking up their cross and following him. And my dear friend, if you're here and you haven't come to Jesus that you might have life, you are perhaps still determined to go your own way in life rather than deny yourself and follow him, then I plead with you this evening, will you not come to him for the sake of your immortal soul, that you might have life? And will you not do so today? And will you not join the ranks of those here who have already done so? For my dear friend, what will it profit you if you gain the whole world and yet you lose your own soul? For my dear friend, what are you going to give in exchange for your soul? And what in this life is worth the exchange of your immortal soul for a lost eternity? Friend, tell me. Tell God. And what will you be able to exchange for your soul in hell if you do go there? Nothing. For friend, it will be too late in a lost eternity to do anything about your lost condition then. For the only thing that can save your soul, that can keep you out of hell and get you into heaven, friend, it is the perfect righteousness of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But friend, if you won't give your soul to Him while it is still the day of salvation to save you, you won't have Him to reign over you, then you cannot be saved. And you will never come into possession of that righteousness then. And friend, you will be without excuse on the day of judgment if that is your choice. And I realize that some of you here, friends, you may find that hard to hear these things. But I trust you realize I don't say these things to be harsh or to be unkind. But I say them because I am called as a faithful servant and ambassador of Jesus Christ to do so out of love for your soul. Because I don't wish anyone here to go to a lost eternity. When Jesus is passing you by in the gospel, when He's calling you to come to Him as your Lord and Savior, that you might have life in Him, life in all of His glorious and wonderful fullness. And friend, if you are still outside of Christ, will you not come to Him? Will you not embrace Him as your Lord and Savior this evening, that you may be saved? Will you not trade your love of this world, all of the things that are presently captivating your heart in it, will you not trade them in for a permanent eternal relationship with Jesus Christ? For my dear friend, I assure you, if you do so, you will never ever regret it, not even for one moment. For my dear friend, you will find the Lord Jesus, as I and others have found Him, to be an ever faithful and loving friend. You'll find Him to be a friend who sticks closer than any brother, a friend who loves at all times. And you will discover He is the best of all possible masters. For friends, His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He is meek and lowly in heart. And He has a heart of compassion and love for the very worst of sinners who will but come to Him as their Lord and their Savior. And come to Him today then, friend. Come to Him without delay. For you see, all those who come to Him, He will by no means cast out. For friend, what shall it profit a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, if they gain the whole world and yet they lose their own soul? Or what will they give in exchange for their soul? Amen.